a lot of things happening that just bothers me. And I'm a concerned pastor. I am never a judgmental pastor. I don't ever try to be a judgmental. I try to love everybody. I try to help everybody. I try to encourage everybody. But of course, in all of that, I want everybody to live righteous. I do not think that's unfair. In fact, I think it's very fair that I ask my teenagers to live righteous, to listen to sermons. I think it's okay if I say, you're not listening, quit talking. I think it's okay for me to say that. Because I'm trying to help them to learn. If a mom and dad are talking, I'm probably saying, now listen, you don't need to be talking, folks. You need to be listening. And I do that because I think it's important to hear the gospel. Not that I have the only thing to say, but I have God's word to say, and God's put me here to say it. And so, do not give what is holy. Notice, if you will, one more time, let's start by going to Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 6. This is a powerful verse of Scripture, and it's a wonderful verse. Matthew 7, 6, give not that which is holy. Look at the phraseology, under the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Now, how many of you know what that verse means? Can I see your hand? You pretty much have an idea of what it means. Let me see your hand. Yeah, I'm not going to embarrass you. You pretty much know what it means. How many of you say, I'm not really sure what it does mean? Let me see your hand. I don't really know. Well, what do some of you know? Nothing? You didn't raise your hand on either occasion. So, I mean, you either have to know what it means or you don't know. I mean, okay, let's try that one more time. How many of you think, I kind of know what it means. I kind of got that in my head. I think I do. How many say, I'm not really sure. I don't know. Okay, good. All right. Well, let's try to give you a little illustrations and preach about this subject matter just a bit. Look at John chapter 16 and verse number 8. John chapter 16 and verse number 8. By the way, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to holler tonight real loud or not, since that scope was down me. I don't know about that. He didn't say anything. He just said I couldn't go golfing yesterday, so I didn't. In fact, I came home and slept. I was so tired and wore out. It's unbelievable. John chapter 16 and verse number 8. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. How many of you know what that verse talks about? Can I see your hand? You pretty much have an understanding of what that means. Okay, when he comes, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. How many of you don't have any idea what that means? You don't have any idea for sure, okay? All right, there's a few who don't, and there's most of us that do. Wonderful. We'll try to explain all that. Now, do not give what is holy. What a demanding labor that Jesus speaks of. Jesus warns his followers not to carelessly handle the gospel. Now, this is what this is talking about. Don't handle the gospel carelessly. More than arguing and debating the truth of the good news, Christians are to speak it, speak the good news, and Christians are to live it. They're to live the good news. Now, here's the good news. This is the Word of God, right? And this is the good news. Now, what are Christians supposed to do? There's two things that Christians are supposed to do. Can you help me out? I just told you what it was. Can anybody help me? What is the first one? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to speak it. We're supposed to speak the good news. And then we're supposed to live it. Now, I want everybody to say those two things. What am I to do with the good news? What am I to do with the gospel? Number one, I am to speak it. And number two, I am to live it. So, I'm not to debate it. I'm not to argue. But the good news, I am to speak it and to live it. Now, in that process, we are to labor in keeping the things which are holy, holy. Now, that very thought does something to me. Do not give what is holy. That causes me to ask. Does it cause you to ask anything? Don't give that which is holy. Does that in itself cause you to ask any questions? It does me. What does it cause you to ask, Nancy? What is holy? She's on my page. I got that too. What is holy? I wonder, well, don't give away that which is holy. Well, what is holy? Then it causes me to ask another question. What's the other question you suppose it would charge me to think about? What is unholy? What is holy? And what is unholy? Right? So we're going to start tonight by talking about what is holy in the Christian life and what is unholy. And we have Bible verses about that. So let's go to Roman numeral number 1 in your notes. If you want to take a note, write it down. What is holy? Now, what is holy is not left up to our determination. It's not left up to our discrimination. In other words, it doesn't matter what Gene Sharp thinks is holy or what Ronnie Messer thinks is holy. It doesn't matter what CJ thinks is holy. CJ, I love you, and I love Gino, and I love Ronnie, but it doesn't matter what those guys think. What matters is what God says. What does God say is holy, and what does God say that is unholy? I think it's up to not us. It's not left to our determination. It's not left to my discrimination. It's left up to God. Go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 5. Now, God declares what is holy with his presence. Every time God's presence is there, wherever that there is, it is holy. Would you agree with that, yes or no? Wherever God goes. Now, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse number 5, what is it talking about? It's talking about Moses, right? And it talks about Moses being on holy ground. Now, why was he on holy ground? Because God was there, right? When God was there, he was on the holy ground. And what did God tell him to do? Take off your shoes because the ground which where you stand is holy ground. Now, what made that ground holy? It wasn't holy 5 minutes before that. It was still ground. It wasn't holy then. But when God came along, when God came and was standing on that ground, Brother Ron, suddenly that ground became holy ground. You know why? Because wherever the presence of God is, that is where holy is, or holiness is. Everybody follow me so far? So what is holiness? God declares what is holy with his presence, because that presence makes it holy. Acts chapter 7 and verse number 33. Follow me, please, to Acts chapter 7 and verse number 33. What does it say there? It's talking about the same thing, right? It's talking about a holy ground. Fellas, you got that on the screens? Can't get it up there? Computer glitch. Okay, no problem. Everybody use your Bible. That's good anyway. Use your Bible. Go to the book of Acts. Now, what's that talking about in the book of Acts, everybody? It's talking about the same thing, about the same thing. Holy ground, is that right? Ain't going to take off your shoes because you're on holy ground? Yeah. Now, why does that ground become holy? Because the presence of God is there. Now, that's important. Mark that down. Moses on the backside of the wilderness, tending to his father-in-law's sheep, was met and confronted by the holiness of God. He was confronted with God's holiness. Prior to that moment, the ground that he stood on was no more holy than any other piece of ground. But as soon as God's presence got there, it was holy. He asked Moses to take off his sandals or his shoes, signifying, I believe, to remove his man-made living. Because this is holy ground. Remove your man-made concoctions. This is now holy ground. The holy life God was calling him to was not up to his own determination. It was not only up to his own discrimination. It was up to God. God was the one that said it was holy. Let's go a little further. In like manner, you and I who are born again Christians are declared holy by God. Being holy is not up to what I think it is. It's not what you think it is or isn't. That's discrimination on our part. That's not it. But what God has determined and declared as holy. Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's find out what God says is holy. This is what I wanted to get to. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want you to follow me down to verse 16 and 17. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is, what does God say?
Holy.
The temple of God is holy. Which temple? Well, let me ask you a question tonight. How many here recognize the truth that you are holy? Come on, everybody, raise your hands, because you're holy. You say, well, I don't live very holy. I didn't ask you how you lived. I ask you your position. What is your position since you got saved according to God? Holy.
Amen.
Everybody here, how many of you are saved? Let me see your hand. You're saved. Look at you now. Look, I'm saved. All right. Everybody says, I'm saved. I got my hand up. I'm saved. All right. I am saved. And because I'm saved, what does God say about me? I am
holy.
Come on, everybody. What does God say about you? You are holy. Everybody in this building who is saved, born again, is holy. That's what God said. We're declared holy by God. Being holy is not up to you and I what I think, what you think, how you act. It's not you discriminating. It's what God has determined. And God claims that you're holy. Christians are claimed as holy. Now, God has declared and claimed that His people are holy. Now, it would be easy, I guess, tonight to argue because I'm with you. Well, I'm not holy. I'm not right all the time. You in that game with me? Well, I'm not holy. No way am I holy, preacher. Man, there's no... Now, people who don't think very highly of themselves will say, well, no, I'm not holy. I'm a mess. But people who have gotten along and been saved a number of years, they kind of think they're holy. I mean to the bad way, to where they have pride. But you see, in our eyes, we're never going to appear to be holy to us, but God says you're holy. Now, that's very important because you'll say to me, well, I don't really live holy. And that's reality. We don't. The reality is, in Christ, you are claimed by God as holy. Now, as I am claimed by God to be holy, I need to start seeing myself as holy. Amen. Now, if I sit there in front of that TV and I watch something ungodly, that should condemn me. Because I have just seen myself as holy, and that's not real holy. Amen. If I sit there in that bar and I lift that glass to my lips and drink that booze, I got to realize I'm holy. And I'm doing something very unholy. You need to begin, and Christians need to begin to see themselves as holy. Christians, number two, are chosen to be holy. Go to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 4. Christians are chosen to be holy. Now, this is amazing. Paul shows that even before the foundation of the world, God chose His people to walk in the way of holiness. It doesn't matter to me what anybody else says about this. God says, I have chosen you to walk holy. Look at the verse. According as He hath chosen us in Him. Look at that. Before the foundation of the world, that we should be what? We should be holy and without blame before Him in love. What the Apostle Paul is simply saying is this, that I have chosen you before the foundation of the world. God knew who was going to be saved from the very beginning of time, and He chose you. Listen, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Man, what a wonderful blessing. I'm chosen to be holy. Now, our being without blame is not on our account, but God. His work of salvation and sanctification for us and in us. The reality is, you did not choose God. God chose you. That's the truth. He chose you, and in that choosing, God chose you to be holy. He chose you to be holy. He has claimed and chosen for us to be holy before Him. So what you should do is begin to know that I'm holy. I want you to remember these three things. The first one is, I must begin to see myself as holy. Say it to me. I must begin to see myself as holy. I must begin to see myself as holy. I've got to start to see myself as holy. Then number two, I've got to begin to know I am holy. I've got to begin to know I am holy. Say it. I've got to begin to know that I am holy. Now, I've got to start believing that God has chosen me to be holy. And I am to live a holy life. So far I'm claimed and chosen. Now if you go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. I've been claimed, I've been chosen to be holy, and I've been called to be holy. First Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath, what's it say there? Hath what? Called you to be any way you want. To live any old-fashioned way you want. No, he has called you to be holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That word conversation means lifestyle. Be holy in all of your lifestyle. Well, you can tell me what to do, preacher, at church, but you can't tell me what to do at home. I don't have to. Scripture already did.
Amen.
Scripture said, be holy not only at church, but every place you go.
Right.
Outside of church, when you go to play, when you go to work, wherever you go, the Bible says, but as he has called you, holy, who is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conversation. Any lifestyle you live, any place you go, whatever you do, you make sure you live holy.
Amen.
You can't live one way at church and some filthy, rotten way outside of church. You got to be holy. Not because this church said so, but because God said so. You see, everything is by what God says, not what man says. And I try, honestly, in all my preaching, I do my best. I try not to try to put my emphasis on what I think. I try to put the emphasis from the Scriptures. Now, we had a big deal a long time ago about MySpace.com, and we dealt with the school kids about that. And we asked that no parents would send any kids to our Christian school that was on MySpace because it's so filthy. Not that it's not a good tool. It's a good tool. It's like devil ruins every tool, right? TV's a good tool, but devil ruins that too. Radio's a good tool. But has the devil ruined radio? And if we don't keep our eyes on what we're doing at the radio, it'll ruin our radio station. If we don't keep our eyes on what the church is a good tool. How many churches are leading people to hell because they're not preaching the gospel? So the devil takes what God has as a good tools and ruins them. The computer's a good tool, and all these programs are good tools. But, listen, have you seen the filth and the junk? My goodness, you got to open your eyes up. You got to be more knowledgeable what's really happening. There's so much junk. But you're called to be holy. You're chosen. You're claimed. God desires for you to live a holy life, making holy choices for your life. Your conduct goes beyond the pew. Your conduct goes beyond the pew. And it's to flow into every area of your life, your work, your family, your pleasure, and on and on and on. Begin to live as a holy individual. That's what God says. Just live as a holy individual. Without question, you and I, as the born again of God, are holy. So I'm looking at holy people tonight. And you're looking at a holy preacher. In God's eyes, that's what we are. Now, I've got to begin, because the battle is raging, I've got to begin to see myself as holy and not just as some other person in the world. So I've got to live, act, dress, conduct myself as I should, because it must be pleasing, not to my church, not to my preacher, but to my God. And I'll guarantee you, if you please your God, you'll flat please me. Because my standards aren't nearly as high as his. Live holy. Now, he claimed us, so you got to see yourself as holy. He chose you. I've got to realize I am holy. And he called me. I must begin to live holy. Now, what is unholy? Let's finish this up. What is unholy? Well, unholy, as holy people, we are not to live in unholy fashion. Now, I did a little word study of unholy. What is unholy? In the Old Testament, it means profane. Now listen, unholy means expose. Does that click anything? Expose. What are people doing? Don't they expose themselves way too much? Expose. Expose. It means profane. In the New Testament, it means wicked. Sinful. What is unholy? Unholy living is that which has been exposed to profane things, this world, that leads us into wicked and sinful living. Now, Jesus warns against taking that which is holy and give it or cast it to that which is unholy. Now, he used some strange analogy, Jesus did, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Go back to that first text that we looked at, because what did he say? And this, folks, this is Bible, and, you know, we have to be Bible preachers and teachers, and this is right from the Scripture. Give not that which is holy unto the what? Unto the dogs. Now, does he mean just, is he talking about barking dogs? So you can't have dogs in your house. No, it doesn't mean that. If that meant that, most of you would be headed for hell because you got doggies. It doesn't mean that, does it? It doesn't mean that. It's talking about dogs. Now, what's it mean by dogs? Well, dogs in the Bible days especially were worthless characters. Dogs were. Dogs were not thought highly of in the Holy Land. They were worthless animals, worthless characters. And it says, it goes a little further here. It says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. It's talking about spiritual stuff here. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. How do the Jews feel about swine? Or pigs? How do Jews feel about pigs? Bad. It's an unclean animal. It's a profane animal. Come on, right? Now, what he's saying is dogs are worthless character, and hogs, they have no comprehension of any value. They're worthless. Don't cast your pearls. Christians, you who are holy. Now listen, if you're holy, there's just certain things you can't do. I can't go with profane people just because they're my buddies and cast my pearls before the swine. I can't do it. Well, my church ain't going to tell me what to do. My church is not telling you what to do. Your church is telling you what God says to do. I can't take my Christian life and go sit in a bar room and drink Pepsi. Well, I'm not doing anything wrong, but you're casting your pearls before the swine. I can't go to a crack house and say, well, I went there and I got my New Testament. I'm trying to win them to Jesus. You're letting your good be evil spoken of, and God says don't let your good be evil spoken of. You've got to get this Christian life in perspective, folks. You've got to sever yourself from ungodly, worldly friends. Because it's going to kill your testimony. And it is killing many testimonies. Because what we're doing is we're being associated with the dogs or the swine. And right here, very, very plainly it says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Are you holy? Did we already establish that? Then you cannot be sitting with those people no matter where they are, because God said you can't do that. Wow. You know, if we really lived the Bible the way the Bible says it, we'd change. The whole society would change. Look what it says will happen if you do this. If you sit and eat with the unholy and the dogs and the swine, here's what it says it'll do, and it's happening all over the place. Look at the verse again. Lest they trample them under their feet. They're going to trample your pearls under their feet and turn again and rend you. Unholy. If we have determined that our lives, which are gospel-filled lives, are holy, why do we continually give and cast our lives to live among the dogs and the hogs of unholy living? We can't do that. Amen? Now, you can't do it on the computer, and you can't do it on the TV screen. You can't do it at the movie house. You can't do it. Because we're unique people. It is a day to draw the line and cease being unholy in any measure. I want you to listen closely. There's some unsettling already going on in this auditorium. Listen, draw the demarcation line and decide which side you're going to be on. Either I'm going to be holy or I'm not going to be holy. And don't fake this holiness stuff, because you're going to be found out anyway. Decide, make the line. Now, line of demarcation. as setting the boundaries, the limits, the distinctions. God has drawn a line between the holy and the unholy. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10 and verse 10. Again, this is not my thinking. This is what God says. What does God say in Leviticus 10:10? Well, let's go back up. Pam, can you get verse 8? I think it's verse 8 I want to start with. Let me just see if that's right. Let me see verse 8 once. Leviticus 10:8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, now here is God talking. I want you to see this, because it's God talking. Now go to the next verse, verse number 9. Do not drink wine nor strong drink. Now Robbie Nitschke was right, no alcohol. And God said, did God say that statement? Now if God said it once, he probably would say it every time. Right? Do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Now look at verse number 10. Now we're talking about what God's saying, and God's talking this way, by the way. And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. God says, I want there to be a difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy, and that which is clean and that which is unclean. Amen. Now, some mother told me, and I don't think she just was talking, she said, my daughter got an email from somebody in our church and had the F word throughout the whole thing. Now, I want to ask you something. Is the F word a holy word or an unholy word?
Unholy.
Come on, speak to me. It's not on radio. Is it holy or unholy? I don't think anybody, I don't even think the worldly crowd ought to talk like that, let alone so-called Christians. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. Why in the world are our young people, Mom and Dad, you've got to ask yourself this question, why are our young people so unholy with their words, with their dress, and with their actions? What is going on? And as the summer comes, off goes the clothes. Be careful. Because, I mean, we're going to even be even more unholy. And all I'm trying to do is set a precedence for our church. We are to be a holy church. Am I right? According to Scripture now. I'm talking about Scripture. Not my idea, Scripture. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Now, he says that you may distinguish between the holy and the unholy, between the unclean and clean. You see, God spoke to Aaron, the first priest, and whom the Aaron priesthood would come, and whose duties would be to represent the people before God, and then God to the people. And what he was going to do is represent and learn to distinguish between what is holy and what is unholy. Do you realize there's some conversation that is holy, and there's some conversation that's not holy?
Amen.
Would you agree with that? Would there be an agreement in this congregation that there are places that are holy to go to and other places probably unholy to go to?
Amen.
Probably things to watch on TV and on the computer that are holy and other things that are probably not holy.
Right.
So, but we have to distinguish, you see. There's got to be a drawing. But ye, now look at the verse. This verse is what we are. Some might question, well, what God has to say in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. That's law versus grace, preacher. I would say this to that. God has never, never, and never will diminish his standard of holiness. Whether it's from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God's standard of holiness is still going to be really high. It is. Grace living, here's what I think. Grace living, which is what we're doing, should raise the awareness of God's claiming and God's choosing and God's calling for his people to be holy. Grace living ought to lift my level of expectancy of how we are to live holy. Now, why am I talking about that? Because 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, 10, 11, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Notice the next phrase, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse number 10. Follow me, please. Which in times past were not a people, but are now, you are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now
Woo!
Have obtained mercy.
Amen.
Hey, we used to be a rebel and we used to not have any mercy, but now we have all this good stuff and we're a holy people. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. We're to be holy. The line of demarcation, the line of holy and holiness has been drawn by God, not by us, not by our church, but by God. Now, which side do you stand on? You got to answer that. I can't answer that for you. I know which side I'm on.
Amen.
And I know which side I'm going to stay on.
But
everybody in this church, all the teenagers coming up, and it's every year, it's a different group of teenagers, different group of people, and they all have to decide every time what they're going to do. And all of you older folks, you have to decide what you're going to do. You young married couples, how are you going to raise your family? How are you going to raise your kids? What are you going to do? You've got to make those decisions. And the line of demarcation is really important. Go with me to Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 26, as we look again at the Word of God. The race line of demarcation. You know, what we do here is we lose the ability to distinguish, and therefore we lose the distinction of being holy. What we do, ladies and gentlemen, is we lose somehow in all of our living, we lose the ability to distinguish, and when we lose the ability to distinguish between holy and unholy, then we lose the distinction of being holy. Because we don't know what it is anymore. And so people say, well, holiness is whatever you believe it to be. No, it's not. It's what God says it is. You see, and there's a lot of things that, you know, I have to fight with God about myself. God, I don't think God demands that. But God's God. And so if he demands it, I have to live it. I have no choice. And of course, everybody looks at me, well, pastor, you should because you're the pastor. Well, you should too because you're a Christian. Yeah, I'm no different than you. I just have a position that God's given me. But we're all just Christians.
Amen.
And we're responsible to God. Well, what's it say? In the Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. Can you get that up there, Pam? Oh, it's up there? I'm sorry. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. You see, they forgot. They couldn't distinguish anymore. And so what they did is they started profaning holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane or unholy. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them. What happens is, when a group of Christians cannot keep together what's holy and what's not holy, we get all mixed up. And nobody knows what is holy anymore, what's unholy. So everybody does what's right in his own eyes, and all of a sudden we have nothing but a mess. And when somebody comes down on their kids and says, listen, you kids can't be doing that in church. You can't be talking like that. You can't be doing that. Then they get mad at the preacher. You get mad at the preacher, get mad at your kids. They're the ones doing the talking. They're the ones doing the profaning. If somebody gets on them at school and says, you shouldn't be on that at MySpace, get off of that thing. That's a bunch of junk. Oh, I don't think anybody will tell me that. Just get off of it. Because everybody knows if you get on it, check it out, it's profane. Just check it out yourself. Help yourself. Now, you have to have a difference, right? Oh, I'm getting weary. Is there a difference between holy and unholy? Yes, there is. And should we know a difference? Should we see a difference? Should we have a difference? Yeah. That's only good church we can have is a church that has a difference. We live in a culture, though, that has diminished any thought of what holiness is. They've diminished it. Unfortunately, the culture has and is impacting the church so that they are now allowing God and His Word to be impacted, and therefore the line of demarcation is slowly being erased. And the unholy things are being more and more accepted as okay. Take note that God says that His people have hidden their eyes to what is really holy to live unholy lives. Each time you wink at sinfulness and unholiness in your life, you profane the name of God. Now we cry out against, and how many of you have heard that story at that football game where Janice Jackson tore off her top while she was singing at halftime? That was at the Super Bowl game, right? How many years ago was that? Anybody know? A couple years ago? Two or three years ago at halftime, I guess. I didn't see it, but I guess she ripped her blouse off and showed herself. And boy, there was a cry from Christians all over the country. Ah, it's terrible. That's awful. You know, and we'll decry some of that stuff, and we probably should. But how many of us cry out against bringing movies into our homes that shows nudity? How many check the computer to see how much nudity is there? We don't decry that at all because, well, we trust our kids. Folks, I don't even trust me. I don't trust anybody. Amen. One person I know to trust is God.
Amen.
And God makes what's holy and what's unholy. We call nudity and sexual immorality in movies artistic license. But it affects us bad. And it's not artistic license. The line of holy demarcation is erased just a bit more, you see. Much of the church, when the preacher speaks out against divorce, they cry out like, hey, don't be so judgmental, preacher. Don't condemn us. And in some cases, I know a lot of preachers do, they condemn you. I don't do that. I don't ever try to do that. Never have tried to do that. I am not wishing to condemn anybody, but rather declare what God has determined tonight as holy and unholy. Let me also say that those whose marriages have not suffered divorce can make their marriages just as unholy, listen to me, because of how they treat their spouses. Adultery can take place in many ways without leading to divorce. And none of us stand holy before God based on our own merits, but only by His determination and only by God's discrimination. The line of holy demarcation is erased a little bit more. Now, please hear me just a bit. I'm finished. I'm not building a list of do's and don'ts tonight. I'm not trying to do that. I'm not trying to make you decide what should I do and what should I have in my home. I'm not doing that. Rather, it's time to redraw the line by God's determination and by God's discrimination. Redraw the line of demarcation. Look at Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19. Redraw the line. Some of us have gotten away from the line. We used to be pretty good. We used to live pretty righteous and pretty holy, according to the book. Not by some man's standard or some church's standard, but by the book, we used to live pretty well. But we've gotten away from it. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth, let them return unto thee. But return not thou unto them. What he's simply saying is this. The things that are precious and holy are to be taken back out of that which is unholy and vile and worthless. It's a day to allow God to begin to draw and redraw and work in each of our lives to restore His holy claim, His holy choosing, and His holy calling in our lives. Without this line of demarcation, our testimony is in danger of being trampled and torn up. How would you feel if you saw my picture someplace and all around me were men or women who were drinking? And I was sitting there holding a bottle of beer. Would you say, Pastor, you ought to be the pastor of our church forever? Or would you say, good night. Is that our preacher? Would you? Would you say, oh, he's having a good time? You know you wouldn't say that. You'd say, what in the world is wrong with Pastor Lewis? What is he? Oh, I know some of you would be on my side. You'd say, he's trying to win them all to Jesus. Look at that. And somebody else would say, wow, he's wicked. Well, that perverted preacher, And I've been paying my tithe to that guy. And you're no different than me. Can we jump on your website and see what you're talking about? Can we just check out where you go, what you do? Are you holy? I'm not saying we're going to do that. I'm just asking a simple little question. But you know what? Jesus in heaven's doing it. And he's the one that's calling for holiness or unholy. I love you, my church. But I'm afraid if we don't keep this line of demarcation like it's supposed to be, we're headed for disaster. I spent 34 years of my life here. I don't want to see it fall down because we've let sin come into camp. Somebody needs to come to an altar tonight and say, God, help me to keep a line of demarcation in my life. Go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Without this line of holy demarcation, our testimony is in danger of being trampled, torn up. You're the salt of the earth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 says, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, and there it is again, to be trodden under the foot of men. Our testimonies can be trodden under the foot of men and mean nothing. Here's my conclusion. To live a holy life is to live in partnership with God. If I'm going to live a holy life, I've got to live in partnership with God. It's not what I think. It's not what I'm doing. It's what God is doing through me and in me that makes me a holy person. Amen. We tend to forget what is in us. And that which is in us is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Here's what we're to do. You know the verse very well. Help me out, Matthew 7, 7. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. Okay? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open. Now I know that most of us use that verse in the realm of physical needs, but let's tie that in tonight with the realm of holy living. Ask. Inquire of God tonight. God, what is holy for my life? What is holy? Number two, seek. Aspire for what is holy. Aspire. Try to get there. What's holy in your life? And number three, knock. Enter into what is holy. Don't just learn about what it is and aspire to it. Enter in. It's a sequential kind of living. As you ask, you inquire, you begin to look or seek out the holy things of God through His Word. And once you discover from God, you knock so you can enter in and begin to live holy. Now, one verse and I'm finished. 2 Corinthians 7. 2 Corinthians 7, the last part of that verse, talks about let us cleanse ourselves. We've got to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. Notice this is important. Not only cleanse ourselves in the flesh, but also in the spirit. That's an interesting concept from God's Word. Because there's some of us who don't live very well spiritually. Not just our flesh, but even our spirit. Cleanse yourself in the flesh and spirit. Cleanse yourself. Perfecting holiness. Fear of God. The demanding labor that Jesus calls us to is this, to not give up and not give away what is holy. What is holy? Ye are holy. Can you see this holy thing setting somewhere with a bunch of junk going on? Don't give it up. Don't give it up. I know it's tough, but don't give it up. Young married couples, come on, be tough with me. Live for God. Decide that the demarcation line is going to be set. I am not going to do stuff the world wants me to do. I'm going to live for the Lord. Amen. I'm going to put the demarcation line out there, and I'm going to live on the side that's right. And I'm not going to live on the side that's wrong. If I have to get new friends, bless God, I'll just get new friends. Maybe I just find friends at the church. And as I find friends at the church, I'll go out and win more new friends and get them saved and born again, get them at church. And then I have more friends at church. And the more friends they get, the more friends I'll have. And we just keep going. Let's just fill the place up with godly people who make a line of demarcation. Let's stand together, shall we? Heads are bowed for just this moment. Do not give what is holy. In other words, don't give up what's holy. Don't give it away. You know, you tell your girls, you tell your fellas, don't give away your virginity. Say that for the marriage altar. Don't give it away. Don't hurt yourself down the road. It'll cause you so much grief later on in life. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself pure. Well, I'm telling you, folks, this is tough for me to study and preach tonight, but I just knew I had to preach it and teach it. It's what God says, you know. It's God's word. Holy. Holy. Now, maybe here you're here tonight and you'd say, you know, preacher, I don't know. I just haven't drawn the line strong enough, I don't think. So often I find myself crossing over. Now, hold it. Let's stop right there. Every single one of us. Look at me. You can look at me. Don't bow your head just yet. Just go ahead and look at me. You know, ever so often, we who are as spiritual as we know how, we still cross over. Come on. Admit it now. We all have problems and difficulties, and we're not perfect. And we make mistakes. I do. I really do. But God knows my heart. I want to live for God. And I want to be holy because He wants me to be. He chose me to be. He claimed me to be. He called me to be. Where are you at tonight? Would you say, preacher, I just want to do what God wants me to do. And I certainly want to be holy. And I want to live holy. And all summer long, even though the world may do lots of wild, woolly things, I just want to be holy. I want to just keep marching for God, living for the Lord.